Bungay by H.G. Wells, dramatised in three parts by Nigel Gearing. Part 3. George has joined his Uncle Teddy's business, selling a cure-all called Tono Bungay. Uncle Teddy is now building a mansion in Kent with the profits, and George is busy working on a design for an airship.
What do you say, George?
In Xanadu did Kublai Khan a stately pleasure dome decree.
Stand over here. One day we'll put the drawing room windows here and you can see clear down to the sea. We're on a crest. Crest Hill. Oh, yes, indeed, a new kind of house for a new kind of century. Four square to the winds of heaven.
Well, you'll get the winds up here, all right.
A mammoth house it ought to be to suit these hills, eh? Great galleries and things running out there and there, see? I've been thinking it through. Yes, all looking out this way across the Weald with its back to Ladygrove.
And all those trees on Farthing Hill, when they obstruct your eastward prospect?
Simple. We shift them.
What?
The hill, the trees. We shift them, dig them up, and relocate them 200 feet that way to the south.
Blimey.
What do you think?
It'll cost you a bob or two.
No expense spared, George. Show value, huh? Marble from Canada, timber from New Zealand, the best architects and planners. They're thinking about it for me already.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
I should be getting back to the workshop. This, well, it's all splendid. But I really must be going back to Arnold.
That's a spirit.
And Ladygrove, meanwhile?
Oh, well, that'll still be our home for a good time yet. Why, this Crest Hill for now, it's just a dream.
Dreams and a great deal of scaffolding. You made a start, at least.
Well, never too soon. I mean, look at you and your flying machines. No sooner you've got the idea than whoosh, and you're away. Oh, proud as punch, your Aunt Susan and me. We are proud as
it's
punch.
Just a balloon with an engine, Uncle.
Just, he says, just.
And gliders apart, there's only the one, the Lord Roberts.
Once upon a time, there was only one bottle of Tono Bungay. And now, look, there's not a corner of this great British empire of ours where it don't sell like there's no tomorrow. You'll be coming over to Ladygrove for the weekend.
I will. Oh, can I give you a lift anyway?
No, I thought I'd pop up to town for an hour or so.
But it's almost evening.
Oh, business, don't you know? Yes, just business.
Steady.
Never find her. Here, help me out of this, will you, Arnold? How did he look?
Well, I think we're getting there. But my donies still kick. It's our old problem, Mr. P. Longitudinal stability.
So, what do you suggest?
Well, I've been thinking. What say we redistribute the load to offset the pitching?
How so?
Well, look at it this way. Our main problem is the negative side of them wing curvatures.
Go on.
What if we widen the carriage and extend the netting right across here to the first set of rods?
This way, Lady Osprey. Lady Beatrice.
Thank you.
How nice of you to drop in.
Now, my late husband always believed one should pay a visit to new neighbours.
Indeed.
My, but how the place has changed. And in so many ways. You must understand I knew it in the old days, before...
Mother?
Before.
Well, of course you did. Since your day, I'm sure things have changed a lot, your ladyship. Them old knights cavorting about on the off chance of a dragon or two.
I beg your pardon?
Not to mention their ladies in their cone hats and their veils. Balmy on the crumpet.
Whatever, can you be?
Sit you down, sit you down. I always take tea about now. Some squashed flies, perhaps?
Excuse me?
Some Garibaldis.
Oh, thank you.
The tea's on its way. And here's old George. Lady Osprey, Lady Beatrice, my nephew George.
Bee!
George!
Do you two know each other?
Beatrice?
I'll say.
Aunt Susan, I have known Beatrice almost as long as I've known myself. Thank you, Clary. Lady Osprey, Beatrice, may I do the honours?
And this you'll remember.
Why, the gallery, of course. How very beautiful.
George.
Yes?
Do you forgive me?
Forgive you? Be all those years ago.
I gave you away pretty completely, didn't I?
Well?
And afterwards I gave away Archie too. Heavens, what a spanking they gave him. George, you know, when it was all over, I went back there. Back to our wigwam.
Out in Westwood?
I went there, and I cried and cried. For all the evil I'd done you.
Ah, long ago and far away.
But I've often thought of it since.
Beatrice, are you following?
Oh, here, Mother. I'm here. George. George, I can hardly believe this. However did you get here?
Here?
All this. Weren't you the son of the housekeeper?
You recognised me all the same. Bee, tell me what you've been doing, where you live and...
Oh, of course, the house went to the Philbricks, the newspaper people. You knew that?
I did hear something about...
And now my stepmother and I, we live in the little dower house in the grounds.
Beatrice, will you not come and see the upper walkway? It's very picturesque. Beatrice!
George!
Are you there?
There are so many things I want to know about you. 100 things. This flying, for a start. What?
I don't know where to begin. The idea's simple enough. You combine a modified gas balloon with an engine and rudder controlled by steel rods. Then you... B?
Oh, George. I've known such duffers of men... All my men were here already. They couldn't have got here otherwise. But you've climbed.
If you can call it climbing.
I've remembered you ever since. You know, I've used you.
How do you mean?
As a sort of model, an exemplar. But then, somehow, I don't know, in my stories you were always rather difficult.
Be?
In clothes that were ready-made, a bit like a Labour MP.
Is that so bad?
No, but... And it turns out you're not a bit like that, really. And then again, you are. George, the other day I heard some men talking about you. Except then, of course, I didn't realise it was you. Is it true? You could run for Parliament? Why are you laughing?
It's like all those years ago when you asked me if I was to go fight hand to hand as a soldier.
Well...
Flying. Putting together these airships, making them soar. That's my ambition. That's my only passion.
And a lot more dangerous than hand-to-hand fighting.
Beatrice! Beatrice!
Oh, dear. Time to go home. So tell me, this soaring, where do you do it? Can I come and watch?
Oh, Susan. Oh, whatever's the matter?
Oh, you know me, George. There's always been my gardening and my reading and then my physiology classes at Birkbeck, but... Oh, you've come in at the end of it these last few weeks.
Tell me.
Remember when your uncle got my silly old portrait painted by Robert the RA?
Yes.
Remember that at home in his studio? You came too. There was this novelist. Leastways, she called herself a novelist. Magazine writer, more like. Name of Helen Scrimger.
I do vaguely remember. A blonde woman with a lot of diamonds, rather substantial.
Plump, I'd say.
You don't mean...
I do. He's confessed. Infatuated he was. He says she used to call him God in his chariot. Silly old porpoise.
Oh, aren't.
My, is he contrite now. Now she's gone off to South America or wherever, it's all tears and blubbering. Can scarcely look me in the face.
And it is all over?
Oh, I put my foot down. Told him he wanted smacking. Old passion's one thing, but this was just nonsense. I'm not going to let him show off to other women what a silly old lobster he is at his time of life. In abdominal belts, indeed. No. In future, I'm going to mark every scrap of his underclothes with red letters. Ponderevo privates, keep off. And you know what got him going. For once, when he goes out and buys a book for himself. Same subject as ever, of course.
You don't mean...
That's right. A book called Napoleon and the Fair Sex. George, you busy?
Well, tomorrow we take out the Lord Roberts again. We're planning it for dawn.
Do me a favour, will you? He's uptown saying he's too ashamed to face me. Pop up there, just for this evening, and to tell him he can come back, will you? He can come back home, and not another word said.
Oh, I've been such a duffer. I mean, your Aunt Susan, of course, she's been wonderful about the whole thing, but, well, she don't know the half of it.
You mean there have been other women?
Oh, nothing of the kind. It's, well, frankly, it's the business.
What about it?
Well, I mean, I try to keep it from her. What with, well, everything else, no point in her worrying unduly. But this, it's hotting up. And with you so busy at your fly-in, I haven't known who I could turn to.
What do you mean?
Well, you recall Philbrick and his newspaper campaign against me a while ago, insinuating Tono Bungay was overextended and well, a closer look at our figures...
I don't understand. I thought you and your lawyers threatened libel.
Oh, we did, and that stopped them in their tracks for a while.
And if, as you say, we're sound...
Oh, we're sound, trust me for that, but all the same...
Uncle...
There's such a lot of, well, imagination in these things. Truth be told, we was a bit overextended. First, everyone ignored it. And finally, well, I kept banging on so. And, well, now they're threatening to come into the offices and turn our accounts upside down, checking who's owed what, seeing if monies have gone missing, why this surplus here and that deficit there. And, oh, George, you're the only one who can step in here and sort it out for me. George?
When are they due?
Eh? Oh, why, end of the month, I believe, but...
So you can spare me for one more day?
One day? Well, of course.
Just one day, and I'm with you, Uncle. Whatever you've done, whatever they say, we won't go down without a fight.
Oh, God bless you, George. Just to hear you say that with that whoosh of yours, why, it bucks me up already. It could almost be Napoleon speaking.
Ready, Arnold?
If you say so, Mr. P.
We did say today.
I was overconfident. I want one more week.
It can't be done.
Why ever not?
A long story. Business crisis at my uncle's. Besides...
Sir?
Oh, nothing. Just that a friend said she might pop over to watch.
No,
now, don't frown like that, old chap. What say we roll him out? Give him his head.
Well, else you will be up there, Mr. P. I've never crossed you before, and I won't start now.
Good man.
Here, up you go. Now, you remember, sir...
I know. Wide circle over Lady Grove, back across here, then out towards Effingham.
But the essential, it's those blooming nets. The first sound of a problem, you shut down the engine, tighten the bag, and...
Arnold?
Watch its nose, won't you, sir? For your own sake...
Good. Now bring her round. Slowly, damn it. That's my boy. Straight as an arrow. Oh, that's all we needed.
Am I late?
I take it you're Mr. P's friend.
How long's he been up?
11 minutes, 23 seconds. If you just watch that horse, ma'am.
Heavens! He's coming back this way.
Ma'am, please, control that horse of yours, will you? If it starts to kick up, it'll distract him.
I'm not a complete fool.
Like a bird! George Bondarivo, you're a bloody genius!
Damn. Steady. If we can just manage to...
He's coming in rather low, isn't he?
Mom, I've told you before.
There, boy. There.
I've told you. For God's sake, hold that bait.
I'm trying to, aren't I? Oh, boy. No. I think he's made it.
Oh, and no thanks to you. Oh, damnation.
George.
Ow. What's happened to my face?
Oh, don't tell me. I died and went to heaven. You're my appointed angel.
Oh, George, don't joke. You've really been very ill. In fact, by all the rules of the game, you should... Nurse?
Yes, Mum?
I think you deserve some fresh air. You couldn't just pop down to the gatehouse, could you? See if there's any post...
Well, if you wish, Mum.
Where am I?
You're in my stepmother's house. The Dower House at Bedley Corner. They had other plans for you,
they?
But... Your aunt and uncle. Cothope, Carnaby. But I insisted.
Then you are my guardian angel. I'll be. I had these dreams. Such dreams. Heat. Swamps and mangroves.
That was your fever.
Men so hungry for money and power, they'll go to the ends of the earth for it, through sickness and disease, through jungle and tropical forest, and me, I was the worst of them.
You were sick, that's all.
I dreamed I killed someone. How is it possible, B, such greed, such appetite to plunder and loot and pillage?
Look, you're back and I'm here, beside you.
How long have I been away? Well?
It was very serious. When I saw you lying there on the ground like that, I did think you were dead. You fell out of the Lord Roberts straight into the Farthing Hill beaches. In a way, I suppose that was your salvation. But the end of a branch went right through your teeth and gums and out the other side. Oh, don't worry, you vain thing. You won't turn into some sort of gargoyle. They say it'll just be a scar.
I asked how long...
A month.
A whole month? B.
Hmm?
Will you marry me?
Stop that, George Ponderevo. You're not fit to marry anyone at present.
I want to talk.
And I don't want you to talk. In any case, you're not meant to.
I know my mind's a bit confused, but...
George!
I want to touch you.
What do you think you're doing? Put your hands down. Down by your side. Lie back. That's right. And I told you, don't talk.
Well,
Will you marry me?
How can I answer you now? How can I say anything?
Does that mean no?
It has to be no.
But when we met again, I suddenly realised...
I can't marry. I can't and won't. Oh, George. Why did you have to talk? Couldn't you see?
But what is it? Is it some circumstances? My social position?
Oh, damn your social position. Let's get some air. I say, I do believe I sent Nurse out in the pouring rain.
Bee?
You didn't even ask me if I loved you.
Then if that's all...
No, it's not all, for heaven's sake. It's not even a small part of it. Of course I love you. With all my heart.
Then why the devil...
Do you know this one?
Bee?
Yes. If that will make you happy, I'll even marry you too. And since I'm not allowed to kiss you, just listen. Understand, once and for all, I am yours. I am yours just as if we had been married for 50 years. Beatrice, your wife. Is that enough? Now will you rest?
But in that case...
Because there are, as you say, circumstances. Because there are complications. When you're recovered, you'll be better able to understand them. But for now, a secret between the two of us. Do you promise me that?
Yes, of course, but... Holy... If I could only just kiss you now.
I'm sorry, George.
Oh, Bee, you can't go, not like that. Oh, my God.
Now, we're all hoping this time, sir, you'll take things just a little more gently. I've brought you some tea.
And Lady Beatrice?
She's gone.
Gone? Where?
I don't rightly know.
Well, she left no message. There's been no post.
Both, sir. A note left by Lady Beatrice.
Here, give it here.
George, don't try to find me. I could be in London, Paris, Wales, or Northampton. Godspeed your recovery, my darling. I'll explain everything very soon. Your loving B.
Also, this telegram, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry?
They just brought it up from the gatehouse.
Oh, right. Give it here.
George, delighted to hear you're better. Come quick. Even double quick. Bad things brewing. Yours, Uncle Teddy.
Nurse, would you say I'm fit to be up?
Well, sir, I don't know.
Now, do you think you could find my clothes? Double quick.
George. Oh, my God, it's good to have you back. You've already read the newspapers, of course.
I have, on the train.
Oh, it's bad, George. And it'll get worse.
When's the adjudication?
Tomorrow morning. But it's not just the bankruptcy.
Then what?
Well, it's all tied up in a skein. You've been away so long and everything's got so complicated. At first, well, just a loan, like here and there, I shifted some monies over from the Tono Bungay Pension Fund, just temporary-like.
Oh, my God.
So, when it came to this last audit, well, I had to think fast.
So the figures were wrong?
Well, I wouldn't call them wrong, exactly. Just strained, George. They're talking fraud.
So, Uncle, what can I do?
Well, frankly, well, the more I think about it, George, the more I realise it's better for me and for everyone if you stay out of things a bit. Yes, Napoleon at Moscow. Comes a time there's certain corners you've got to turn alone.
And Aunt Susan?
Yeah. She'd like to be in the battle with me here in London, but... I'll tell you what. You might go down to Lady Grove and keep her company, but I'll be down myself as soon as I can get away. Well, thank God for the weekends, eh?
Aye, better than ever. And so now we call it...
Why change the name? I call it Lord Robert's Beater.
Good for you. But you've seen the papers, Arnold, about the adjudication?
I have. Tell me, was there ever a country so puffed you up only to shoot you down again? And your uncle, Mr. P, he's bearing up.
One thing's for sure. There'll be no more money for this kind of thing.
Sir?
All we had was in the game. Imagine. The work we put in on it. How can it be allowed? Arnold, I'm thinking. Before they catch up, before they know what's what, I'd like to try it just once more.
Try what?
The Lord Roberts? Soaring? One last time? Can we do it?
Can we do it, he says. Oh, yes, sir. Believe me, we can do it, all right.
Are you serious?
Never more so, Aunt. At least till things have calmed down.
But is it safe?
It's safer, I'd say, than staying here and seeing poor Uncle Teddy pilloried by the newspapers each day and then, well, who knows, dragged screaming to the law courts for fraud.
Oh, I can't stop thinking about it. Poor Teddy and that adjudication. Won't they be deciding by now? Have some more soup, George, while there still is some.
Why not? Uncle!
Oh, it's all up, George.
What, adjudicated?
Well, no, not yet. Oh, it's cruel, George. They asked me questions. They kept asking me questions. Bloody bullies. It isn't fair play. A barrister chap, Whitaker Wright. He don't ask a civil question. He bellows. And this is a man I've sat next to at dinners. Why, Whitaker Wright, I've given city tips to. I've helped him. Well, when they broke for lunch meal... Oh, I couldn't swallow a mouthful. My stomach's all wrong. Has been for weeks because of this. And, you know me, I put the coals and this one's on my chest.
So...
Teddy!
I couldn't face it, Susan. I said I'd get a bit of air and slipped out down to the embankment.
Are you saying you bolted?
Oh, Teddy, my poor love.
Then, I came on down here. That's for their mothers, still up in London, no doubt, doing what they like with me. They was bringing things on me, things I didn't expect. They rushed me. I'd rather be a three-card sharper than a barrister. I'd rather sell cat's meat in the streets.
Get you down, Teddy. There. Under your collar.
Abscondin's not too bad. Bad for the look of things, of course, but... Well, they'll just call you up again for the rest of the examination, Uncle. That's all.
Just! To be baited and bullied and bellowed at all over again. Besides, that ain't all.
How do you mean?
Under the strain of it, it gets so you can't remember what you said. And you're bound to contradict yourself. And I done things. And it's bound to come out. Well, apparently has come out already.
What things?
Well, you know, writing things down. Signatures when people wasn't around. See, I was in such a hole.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Oh, George. Susan. It's forgery.
Poor old Teddy. Poor old porpoise. Look at him. He's fallen asleep. Not surprised what he's been through.
That settles it. I've made up my mind.
The Lord Roberts, old George, I don't know.
Can we think of anything better? At least until things blow over.
You will take care, won't you? You promise?
I promise. And we go tonight.
Oh,
chance of it, sir.
It's all set, Mr. P. And your uncle?
Oh, we'll manage somehow.
No, yeah. Napoleon was just the same all through war.
Give me a hand to get him in, will you?
Yeah, right, you are.
Still, there was always one last chance for old Bernie.
Yeah, if you just...
The light thing, wasn't
there's
it?
There's only one thing for it, sir. You take the left arm and I take the right.
Gotcha. Hold tight, uncle, and... Uncle? Gosh, are you all right?
Yeah. Leipzig. That was it.
And remember, Mr. P, the difficult bit, that's the added weight.
Don't I know it?
So the moment you're clear and in, that's when you let slip the trolley. The rail will hold it.
Right. I think I got that. Anything else?
Nothing else! Except, well, good luck, sir! Now, sir!
Right! We've done it! We've done it!
See that down there? It's Brighton. Not a light to be seen. Everyone in bed. All right for some, eh?
Mr. Whittaker, Ryan, I tell you, sir, you are no gentleman.
Uncle?
Nor your so-called colleague, Mr. Rupp.
Dream on, Uncle. In fact, why waste petrol? Perhaps I'll join you. Uncle?
Thank you, George.
Who else?
Oh.
Difficult to say. Over the sea somewhere.
Over the sea?
But...
Well, I'll be blowed. Oh, I'm afloat. I'm afloat.
Uncle, please, sit down. I thought we'd be east of Cherbourg by now, but...
George.
Nothing for it.
Oh, I'm hungry, George. I'm so... Oh, the cold.
And the brandy?
Oh, now you mention it. George.
There's a big town down there, all lit up. Well, that can't be right.
Can't see a damn thing over here myself.
Probably because it's night.
So soon.
But if this map's correct, then it's Bordeaux.
Would that be the Bordeaux 92, sir?
I thought we'd been pushed back east.
Or perhaps you'd prefer a little of the Côte de Rhône, say 95.
I think Bordeaux it'll have to be, Uncle, whether we prefer it or not.
Huh?
Here we go.
This is Foul George Whoosh! 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 George.
It's all right. It's all right. I'm here.
Oh, I thought for a moment I was drowning. I couldn't breathe.
Well, where'd you say we are again?
We're in France.
Huh?
Faut que je vous dise la vérité, monsieur.
France, you say, mais oui. Le steel say l'homme. N'est-ce pas?
Je fais de mon mieux, mais ce ne s'annonce pas bien.
Ah, oh, she's blathering on about, George. Who is this fellow, anyway?
Shh, please.
Oh, I tell you, my good man, you can't get a safe 6% just by walking into our offices like that. No inventions, patents. We got all the patents we want coming out of our ears. Yeah, ask my nephew, George.
Monsieur, je vais vous parler franchement. Vous avez déjà demandé un prêtre.
A priest? Monsieur, votre père, il est bon catholique?
He is a good Catholic, your father.
Well, I...
Monsieur?
Well, let us say, Father, he's always held great store by people's capacity for faith.
Comment?
An homme de grand foi?
Et au contre-même.
Vous êtes prêt, mon fils, à recevoir les derniers sacrements? Vous êtes-tu préparé à demander à notre père, le bon Dieu, qu'il veut pardon vos péchés?
I say, George, I don't like the look of this fella either. That black gown of his wife. It's Whitaker Wright, I'm not a guest. The scoundrel's sat me down even here.
Vous renoncez vraiment à tous vos péchés.
I know, he's ganged up with the creditors, right? He's demanding payment of his dues.
Well, the manner of speaking.
Well, listen, you blackguard.
Your sins, your trespasses.
What sins? Hey, George, what trespasses?
Indeed, Uncle. What sins?
Oh, I've been thinking, George. After all said and done, it's been a great career, has it not?
Mm.
A great career. Brought down only by the likes of Philbrick, Whitaker Wright and the rest. Scoundrels, absolute scoundrels. You mark my words, they haven't escaped me yet.
Try to rest.
Oh, it's too long, George, up there. It's too long, too cold. Lord, I'm too old for that sort of thing. Flying machines. Science. Gas and matter. Yes. A great career. And yet, oh, you know, for all that, I shall be glad to rest. Very glad I've got this pain in my chest. It hurts so much.
No, Uncle.
Oh, if only your Aunt Susan were here.
I've sent her a wire.
George, you've always been responsible for the science side of things, eh? Now, you know better than I do. So, is it proved? Either way.
Is what proved?
You know. That death ends all, eh? Tout fini. Oh, after so much. After such splendid beginnings. You know the way I see heaven, George? Well, I see it a bit like Crest Hill. Sanadu, cloud-capped towers, airy pinnacles, terrace upon terrace, reaching skyward. Kingdoms Caesar never knew. After all, who can say, who can tell there ain't something in the fella that just, whoa, don't die, eh? Yeah. All of a sudden, I begin to see it clear, reaching skyward. And now, the residence of one of our great merchant princes, he stands on the terrace, the new arrival. You and me, we know who we're talking about, George, eh? He stands on the upper terrace, directing all the trade. Directing right across the globe. Imagine a scope for enterprise there, John. What a property, eh? What a portfolio. Heaven itself. Under entirely no management.
Uncle. God bless you, Uncle. And Godspeed.
George, they didn't hurt him before he went. I mean, back there in France, them priests and them doctors with the injection from them.
No, not in the least.
Seeing him all stretched out there in the funeral parlour, I could scarcely believe it was him.
I promise you, Aunt, I was by his side all the way back.
No, I mean, without his old fizz and fizzle. Without him all snapping away. Hey up, George, it's good to have you back at least. And that Lady Beatrice of yours?
Bee?
You'll be seeing her again?
Well, I've scarcely had time to catch my breath, let alone...
Always liked her. Always. It's a rum-go life, ain't it? Who'd have thought when I used to darn your socks at old Wimblehurst? My, it seems an age ago. I'm almost an old woman now. Who'd have thought it would all end this way? Of course, I'm catered for, money put away, but... Crest Hill? Oh, my. Just a pile of old scaffolding and bricks and plaster and stones. And I suppose now it'll stay that way. Remember the old shop at Wimblehurst, George? And poor little Teddy always rushing about, always talking 19 to the dozen and making that old noise of his. Oh, George. I wonder if they'll let him go on so in heaven. Oh, my heart's torn to pieces by this. And... what if it's true he weren't a real husband for me at the last? I mean, after he got so tempted by, well, by business and things. What if it's true he had his deceptions and his little ways? If we could see the likeness of it. It weren't fair, George, not fair. Life and death, great serious things. Why couldn't they leave him alone? Oh. As for me, well, I was clever enough to see through it, but not clever enough to prevent old life knocking him about like that, puffing him up, and then smashing him like an old paper bag under my eyes. No, all I could do was jeer.
You never jeered, Aunt Susan. Never.
Oh, perhaps, I don't know. Perhaps if we'd had children. Of course, we had you. Your uncle and me, George, we loved you as our own.
I know you did.
And we never said anything about it, but you understood and we understood. And then again...
Aunt?
Well, old Poldy. I suppose he were child enough for all of us, right?
And just witness this one, will you?
Sign here.
Yes. Well, I think that's it, Arnold.
I think so too, sir.
Lord Robert's Aeronauticals is now legally no more.
Hmm.
And we've managed to pay off all its creditors, too.
A rum go, I'm thinking.
Arnold?
My, that last time. How it flew.
Oh, didn't it, though?
We proved somewhat, sir.
Indeed we did. And believe me, over at, Ilchester's, is it?
Mm.
It'll see you in good stead. Battleships, you say?
Mm.
Destroyers and the like.
You and me both, Mr. P. You're a hero over there to those chaps. The lightest plane ever made. Frankly, were you ever looking for a job, you'd only have to,
We'll see.
Hmm. And this fine Lady Grove?
I fear that, too. It's just a matter of time.
Well, I'll be off then. And I'm glad the newspapers have started to see it your way. Bye, sir.
Beatrice!
Me!
Whose horse is that?
Carnaby's. Why do you ask?
And, this way?
The wall's down, George.
Already?
Great bit of it. Between Westwood and here. So I just came through. I guess you'd be here. I rode over to see you. Oh. There, boy. There.
Bea. I'm not what I was. I'm just a vestige. It's all a chance now whether I roll out free at the bottom or go down a crack into the darkness and out of sight forever. See the little chalet over there? That pavilion? That's my one and only home.
Well, it's comfortable, at least. You've even got chintz curtains. I thought you chaps were much too feckless to have curtains without a woman. Oh, but of course, your aunt did that. Oh, and a couch. Oh, and is that a pianola? Does it play?
Like a musical gorilla with fingers all of one length. And, yes, a sort of soul.
So, what do you play on it?
A Beethoven, mainly. A little Chopin, sometimes. Wagner. When I want to clear my head a little from all this damn paperwork I've been doing.
So play me something now.
If you insist.
I say, these things play better than I thought. I'm going to play something for you. We'll have a concert. Let me see.
Oh, B.
George? Oh. Oh, my dear George. My dear. Dear George. Are you awake?
Sort of.
Do you hear the birds? They sound louder than they did yesterday morning.
And the morning before that?
Perhaps you were less prepared to listen. I never believed this could happen. I've spent my whole life going about making love to men whom I could scarcely bear. And now I find you.
But why?
Why what?
Why did you never marry?
I ought to have. The opportunities I had were never particularly good, although we were poor, George. For all you might think. But always pretending and managing. Hacking about on visits and things.
And Carnaby?
You know, one goes about to these huge expensive houses, making oneself useful to other women, agreeable to other men. And of course one has food, and exercise and leisure. Oh my, what leisure. And with such leisure, with such space, a blank opportunity, it seems a sin not to fill. One gets bored. Bored beyond redemption. Bored to be always repeating the same vain pattern. Then Carnaby came along. And whatever you've heard about him, he isn't like those other men. They just go about having sex. Everybody's having sex. Me too, and not by halves. Carnaby was different. So, me, Carnaby, you knew.
Well, these last days I've had a lot of time to draw conclusions. I suppose once this would have mattered immensely. Now...
Nothing matters. Though I felt I should have told you. I wanted you to understand why I didn't marry you there and then when you first said... George Ponderevo. George the servant's boy. I have loved you, George Ponderevo, with all my heart and with all my soul since that first day I kissed you in the bracken. Only, will you believe this? I forgot. George, how is this possible? I forgot.
So just forget again everything until now. Marry me.
No!
Marry me, marry me, marry me!
We have had this time. And my, what a fine time it's been. Has it not? And such as I've had to give, a poor gift perhaps. It's been my all, packed in without reserve. You've had the best of me. But now we are at the end of it, and it's over.
Why? Marry me!
Oh, you think I, poor, spoilt, selfish little Beatrice, could take courage and come to you and be your everyday wife while you work? And a poor... George!
Tell me why not?
I fell in love with you from the first. Do not doubt it. But when you seemed a successful man, I told myself I wouldn't marry you. Although I was lovesick for you. Although, for all you were stupid and trying to impress me...
Be?
I did come so very near it. But I knew I wasn't good enough.
I don't understand.
I too have my reputation, my bad habits and bad associations. Just ask around. And now you're poor.
What of it?
If I wasn't good enough to be a rich man's wife, I'm certainly not good enough to be the wife of a poor one. I can't even do my own hair.
Do you think I'd care about all that if you were my wife?
Don't you see? Don't you see what I am? I'm a woman spoiled and ruined. Yes. And you are a ruined man.
I could become prosperous again. In no time. We start clean, from the bottom.
Do you expect me to be any sort of helper to you? Any sort of wife? Any sort of mother to your children? People can be ruined by wealth just as much as by poverty. I should be down and dragging in the first half mile. And it's because I love you. I won't take you down with me all over again.
You'll go back to Carnaby?
Yes.
And never the twain shall meet.
What?
Something my mother used to say. There's upstairs and downstairs and never the twain shall meet.
Oh, George, we've met. Oh, indeed we have. You've been mine. Heaven and hell can't alter that.
And now?
And now, finally, my light goes out. Call it general anaesthetic.
They wouldn't have me, Captain.
Sir?
I built this destroyer to my own design.
Saw it through from first blueprint to last bolt. And then we offered it to our splendid English government. Would they have me? Well, you know my name. You know the scandal.
I read the papers, sir. Seemed to me that in the end they were rather taken by you.
Well, don't the English always admire a buccaneer? Someone who sails close to the wind.
Well, sailing we are, sir. As for a wind... Look at it this way, sir. This country that's bought us.
Yes, Captain?
Yesterday, England. Tomorrow, the South Atlantic. We're all things that make and pass.
Indeed we are, Captain. Indeed we are.
In part three of Tono Bungay by H.G. Wells, George was played by Neil Dudgeon, Uncle Teddy by James Lawrenson, Aunt Susan by Diane Bull, and Beatrice by Claire Holman. Cothope was played by Steve Hodson, Lady Osprey by Jilly Mears, the Nurse by Geraldine Fitzgerald, and the Captain by James Telfer. All other parts were played by the company, and Tono Bungay was dramatised by Nigel Gearing. The director was Claire Grove.